So we're going to start Tzadi Vav now, which is the simen that brings it all together, all the shilas. So after, at this point, so we learned all the rules, not bar not, and we learned about when you have Einu Ben Yoimai, no problem, like we just had a shila on Friday, someone called into the shila that they had an Einu Ben Yoimai milchik utensil, a fork or something that they used on chicken right before Shabbos. So what's the din? So, you know, as always, people assume that you have to throw out the chicken and then...
It's garlic,
that's why I thought the okay. But so the point is, yeah, so, you know, the chicken is fine because the fork is in a Ben Yoimai. And then the fork, you have to kasher. Okay, so we know all the rules. So the gishmak part about once you know all the rules is now you can get to the exceptions. So basically, we're now that we have all the rules down pat, now we have to start learning about where don't you say the rules and where's the exceptions. So the exception to every single rule we learned so far is davar charif, is something which is sharp. So there's two gemaras, there's two sugyas, and the Mechaber brings them together over here. The Gemara talks about like this. So I'll just read the Mechaber inside and we'll get into it. So this week we'll just give the background and then we'll give some lemaisa moving forward the next few weeks. So it's nine, a radish, a silka. I'm not quite sure what a silka is. What? But a bean is not particularly sharp, is it? Huh? Tardin. The shot says tardin. Okay. You cut it with a fleshika ben yoimai knife, or if it wasn't ben yoimai, but you have ben of fat or oil or grease on the outside of the knife, also you're not allowed to eat that tznoin with chalav. Okay, so now right then and there, there's already a chiddush here, because the first chiddush is that even if the knife is ben yomo, milchik, still there's two chidushim in this halacha. Two very big chidushim in this sentence of the Mechaber. The first chidush is that till now we learned that the Mechaber is mekel and not bar not. So if you would go ahead and cook a potato in a fleshika pot, you would be able to eat it with chalav. Cook. Right, cook, mamish. So all of a sudden here, you cut a tznoin with a flesh of knife. You can't eat it with chalav. Why not? The mechaber holds. He does. He's mekel and not bar not the mechaber. It's like, why not? That's the first chiddush. So on that you have to say state in this sugya. Okay. That not by not, oh, that davar charif overrides not by not. How does it do that? Because apparently, when you have a davar charif, the way it works is that the davar charif is able to pull out a stronger flavor than even cooking could pull out. So when you pull out the flavor of a knife in through a tznoin, the flavor that comes out is not just, you know, nice same time. The lashon of Rashi is like it's poilet the tam itself. It's like the flavor gufa is coming out. So since the flavor gufa comes out, it's not by not because it's the tam alein that's just coming out. Okay, so that's the first chiddush, that when you have flavor transferring through davar charif, it's stronger than a regular flavor, and it's not subject to the kula of not by not. Clearly in the Mechaber, okay? More than cooking. The second chiddush. No, it's a separate thing.
Previously we said that not by not because the tam becomes kolish. Is this somehow enhances the tam, or just stop some kind of chiddush as the ability to pull it down?
It's the ability to be poiled a stronger flavor, but it's not mechal yale l'shvach necessarily.
Yeah, like the previous
it's kolish, right? I don't think here it's not kolish.
It's not kolish.
It's not kolish. Kolish means it only got a zecher of the flavor. Here, the gufa flavor came out, a stronger flavor came out. So, you know, it's a little bit different.
It's more localized.
What?
It's more localized.
It's to this flavor itself.
Right.
Okay, that's the first chiddush. The second chiddush is if you would cut a potato with a knife that's clean, nothing would happen. Here, all of a sudden, you cut the knife, it's clean, it's ben yoimai, all of a sudden, you can't eat it anymore with milk. Second chiddush, it could take out, a davar charef can cause a transfer of tam through duchka de sakina, through pushing out the tam. Now, there is an issue here, and it's a very geshmaka diktuk in the Lashon of Rashi and Chulin, but and the Prima Gadim really is oimed on this diktuk. The Prima Gadim in Mishpat Zav Gimel is oimed on this diktuk, that basically he says that, how does this work? If you cut a tznoin with a fleshika knife, all of a sudden, you have to now be koilef, or you can't eat it with milchik. So it's an extra chiddush that does not exist by non-davar charef. So the first chiddush is, it's not subject to not bar not. The second chiddush is that duchka takes out flavor. So the Prima Gadim says that the way it works is really duchka always takes out flavor. Duchka, when you take a clean knife and you cut it against something, it causes the friction, causes some of the flavor of the knife to come out of the gufa knife onto the surface of the knife. And then it spreads onto the surface of the thing that you're cutting. However, normally you would be able to just wash it off because whatever tam came out is now on the surface of the other of the food. So if you would cut a potato with a raw potato, I'm saying a cooked potato is a little duchka l'chara, it's very soft. But a hard potato, you would cut it with a fleshika knife. What would happen would be, you wouldn't have to do klipa. Wouldn't have to do klipa. So what's the difference? So yesh lachkar, that's what we're saying. Is the pshat that only davar charef has the koyach to take flavor out of a knife through duchka? Normally you need heat, real heat, not friction. You need real heat. So like cooking, frying, etc. And here you don't have that, and therefore, it's a chiddush. But only by davar charef does the flavor come out through duchka. That's one choice. Or the other way to go, if it's the Prima Gadim is Madaik this Mahalch and Rashi, that really duchka de sakina, always the friction itself causes the flavor to excrete, to come out of the knife. But yeah, because yeah, I'm saying I'm trying to add an element where there is a darg of choim there. Well, there is, because you're taking something that you're creating a drop of push from one onto the other.
Pressure, yes. Pressure
means
the surface is
rubbing against the chest. I don't know.
Depends how you're cutting it. There's no way to cut it.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe, okay. I was understanding it as the literal translation of docha is pressure, yeah. But I'm understanding that it's a little bit of chayim there. So the Prima Gadim is v'dayik Rashi like this, kishmak adir. There really, any time that you put this duchka on a knife, on any food, it causes the flavor to be excreted out of the knife. But by every other food item, that flavor will just stay on the surface of the item, so you can wash it off. So if you take a potato and you cut fleshik knife with it, yeah, maybe the flavor will be excreted out of the knife, but it'll just spread onto the surface of the potato. You can wash it off. Okay? But by davar charef, the flavor which is excreted out of the knife now becomes balua inside the davar charef. So the chiddush of the davar charef is not that it takes the flavor out of the knife, it's that it puts it into the davar charef. The diktuk lashon Rashi is because Rashi says, Rashi on Daf Kuf Yud Beis says, davar charef bolat fei. It's boileya more than another. He doesn't say it's polat tfei. It doesn't take out, because he says duchka always takes out the flavor. The chiddush, and that's why he says we learned in Daf Peites, in Simon Pei Zayin, or Pei, Simon Pei Tess, you go all the way back to there, and we talked about if you cut a challah with a fleishig knife, should you use that challah for milchik? So he says, no, that's not charif, but it's still duchka. So if it's still duchka, it could be that the flavor's still there on the surface of the bread. So technically, you could wash the bread off, but it's not balua in the bread, but it could be still there. That's why this halacha says there you shouldn't use it for milchik. So he says that that's pshat in Rashi, that it's balatvei, that the davar charif is boilea more, but it doesn't, it's not necessarily poilet more. So that's an interesting knach from the Lashon Rashi. Rashi, oh, he brings a Lashon. He says, Mishum churfa balatvei midagam roistim, v'agav duchka desakina polat sakin u balat snoim. So Rashi says it, that it sounds like the plate of the sakin happens off the duchka, and the blea of the snoim is off the charif. This is going to become Rashi and Kuf Yud Beis Amar Aleph. It's the Mishpat Zav Tzivkat and Gimel. He brings it in the beginning. So this is going to play out, by the way, in when we're going to get to, if we ever get to it, buying cut fruit in a store without a hechsher, right? Because if it's not a davar charif and you need the davar charif to be boil at the tam. So it's not davar charif. But if you're going to learn like this, so it's the davar charif is what's mavliya the tam, but the tam stays on the surface even by non-davar charif. So that would mean even a watermelon that's not charif, that's cut with a treif knife, could be would have to wash it off.
I've heard of people bringing their own knives to these supermarkets to cut salmon.
Yeah.
The lice, once it hits the cutting board, that's also something, right? That it could be cut by hair.
I don't know if that's real duchka. I'm not sure that's real duchka. Huh? What?
The solution to that, they're relying on the assumption of putting paper.
Yeah?
If you bring your own knife,
you bring your own cutting board also. I brought my own knife and cutting board, but the guy didn't like my knife. He's like, you can't cut fish with this. What's your problem? What are you bringing me this knife for? Don't you know anything about cutting fish? You don't bring a serrated knife. You do bring a serrated knife. I don't remember which way. But whatever I brought, it was supposed to bring the other way. What?
But the rest of the fish
are... Kids are, the knife from my kitchen that we use for, you know, for grapefruit, whatever. Cut it. So, anyway. Okay. Now... Okay, so that's so again, we have two chidushim so far in davar charif. Number one is that it's superseded not by not. Number two is that with duchka alone, the flavor goes in. So far, these are two chidushim that are specific to davar charif, and they come from the sugya in chulin, not from the sugya in avodah zara. This is from the sugya in chulin, daf kuf yud beis. So the Mechaber says again, ben yoimai, oy she'ino mekunech, also la'ochlam b'chalav. Ad, how far does the flavor go in? This is a big, big noisei, a big topic. How far does the flavor go in? So we're saying, davar charif is boileya the flavor. How far in? Ad, she'yito mimokam ha'chatach, k'dei netila samokam shu ke'oivi etzba, the thickness of a thumb. It's not just klipa. Klipa means you can just like take off the most outer layer. You got to actually take off a thickness of about an inch. Or you could taste it. Now this is an interesting chiddush in the Mechaber. The Mechaber says you could give it to someone, you could taste it. Taste it if it tastes fleishik, then it's fleishik. Otherwise it's fine. Now Rabbi Kiveger has an interesting point. He says, there's a machlokes in the Rishonim if you could do klipa or netila. Okay? Now, Rabbi Kiveger says, if you take a fruit, take an onion, and you cut it down, okay? So let's say here's the onion, so you cut down. So let's say it's 5 inches. Okay, the onion is a big, nice kishmaka onion, 5 inches. So you cut down the 5 inches. Now you have an onion like this, the open onion is 5 inches. It was cut through 5 inches. So Rabbi Kiveger, where are you going to taste it? Chaber says, taste it to see if it's fleishik. Where? Where are you going to taste it to see if the onion got fleishik flavor? says you have to taste the entire surface. Because maybe the flavor didn't come out in the first section, it came out in the second section, maybe in the third section, maybe the fourth section. You don't know where the flavor would have come out. Just like if you cut two onions and you taste the first one, oh, it doesn't taste fleshic. Doesn't mean the second one doesn't taste fleshic. It's up to Rabbi Kivayger, right? So he said, you have to taste the whole surface. So for Rabbi Kivayger, how could someone say you could either do Kedei Klipa or taste it? If you tasted, you did Kedei Klipa because you tasted the entire Klipa. So he asks his kasha, it's Gishmak Akasha. It can't be that you can do either Klipa or tasting it, because tasting it will do the Klipa because you're tasting the whole surface. If you do Kedei Netila, then it can work, because maybe you could just taste the Klipa. And then if you taste the entire Klipa, you won't have to then go ahead and do the Kedei Netila. That's Rabbi Kivayger's chat on this tasting. It's the first Rabbi Kivayger over here in the Shulchan Aruch.
Tasting, you have to eat it and swallow it, or did you just taste it in your tongue?
Well,
this means you have to actually swallow it.
I don't know.
Otherwise, you can lick the surface.
No, I don't know if that I don't know if that's called tasting. I don't know. Lick the surface. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say. What?
All the place that night goes in contact with it, tasting.
What?
Only when
for
the first
of
the outside part.
Anyway, that's Rabbi Kivayger's chop over here. Now, okay, now, v'loye b'tam basar, sh'oz mutar b'hadacha. Okay, now, v'yesh armim. To who adin, now he adds on, now I just want to say one of the chiddush. So we're saying now that there's two chiddushim here. It takes out tam and it takes care of not bar not. So Rabbi Shaffer was asking, what's the mechanics? How does it take care of not bar not? So we're saying it's not a tam kolish. So if you look at the first shtickle in the Vilna Goin, in the Pirah Gra, Ois Beis, not the first one, the second, the Ois Beis in the Vilna Gra, in the Gra, he says a gevaldika pshat in this din. He says the reason why. He says, Kishnei time shall Rashi, Lavagav din is Bash no Mutter, etc. But then at the end he says, Koshikotsu Toysus, Divaraska Husa, Svirale, Toysus holds, Dechurfa, Dover Kharif, Polat Guf Hatam. The way Dover Kharif excretes flavor out of a Kli is different than everything else. Everything else, it's just the Tam. By Dover Kharif, it gets into the knife and it takes out the flavor itself, the guf hatam. It's not noisein tam. So therefore, it's not bar not, because it's the actual flavor that went into the knife, came out into the kharif. So he says, therefore, it's not a chasar of not bar not, because it's the first tam. It's his lashon is svirle de churfe polat guf hatam. And that takes care of not bar not. Yes, that's different than the Prima Gadim. Correct. This is different than the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim was saying is that it's boileya more. The Goyin is saying it's poilet more.
That only applies to something else, right?
No, he's saying it's poilet more.
But
right, no, poilet, it causes the knife to give a stronger flavor. The way we learned from the Prima Gadim, no. The Duchka itself, even if you're cutting a non-kharf, is what poilet the flavor out of the knife. And the chiddush of the charif is that it's boileya. So it's only boileya whatever came out. So you have to say a different pshat, why not by not, it doesn't have a problem. The goyin is saying that no, it's actually poilet more than a regular thing is, and it's poilet the gufatam, and therefore there's no chasarn of not by not. So it's a chiluk between the goyin and the prima gadim on that. Okay, now let's go further into the Shulchan Aruch. So these are the two chidushim. So far we only have two chidushim in not by not. In Davar Kharif. And a Davar Kharif is a radish, Sinoin. Now, we didn't peek out anything out of the Shulchan Aruch. So we didn't discuss onions. We didn't discuss jalapenos. We didn't discuss garlic. We didn't discuss anything that it doesn't say Shulchan Aruch. Every single vegetable is subject to a whole slew of achrenim, what's considered sharp. Okay? So I'm just discussing what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Now, V'yesh Oimrim. Some say, it's Tosis's it brings up the issue, and it's Sefer Truma. Dehu adin le'inoi ben yoimai v'hum ekunach nu chiddush. Third chiddush in Nat Barna, in Davar Charef. Third chiddush. Okay, so far we spoke at two. He says, Yesham, there's a third chiddush. And if you cut a sharp item like a radish, then even if the knife is old flavor, even if the knife is eno ben yoimai, the flavor that comes out into the Davar Charef becomes strengthened and reinvigorated. And mamela, it doesn't, even if an old flavor, that if you would use it for any other food, it would be pogum, it would be bad tasting, and it wouldn't be a problem. For Davar Charef, it would be aser. So Davar Charef has the ability to revive old flavor. So there's no heter of eno ben yomo on a Davar Charef. That's the Yesh Oimrim, okay? Now, where does this Yesh Oimrim come from? Where does this come from? They come from a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about if you did this on a chiltis. The Gemara over there is talking about a vegetable called chiltis. And it says, I'm not going to translate chiltis, but I'll tell you some of chiltis' properties in a minute. But if you take this chiltis and a guy cut the chiltis with an old knife, the Gemara says it's awesome. So clearly the chiltis has the ability to revive old flavor. So the concept is in the Gemara. So what's the Yesh Oimrim now? Why is it only a Yesh Oimrim? It's an open Gemara and avoid the Zara, right? So the Goyin says, Svar Rishoina Svirle, because the first opinion holds, no, like Dami Lakari Shal Chiltis, the Charef Me'oi. Chiltis is not a radish or an onion. Chiltis is a whole other thing. Chiltis, I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you one thing the Gemara says about chiltis and chulin. But if an animal eats chiltis, then we assume the animal becomes a trefa because it rips out a hole in its intestine. Okay? That's what the Gemara says. So, obviously, what? Honey and garlic don't seem to do that, right? So, the Gemara says chiltis, if an animal eats chiltis, it's a trefa. So the first opinion in Shulchan Aruch says, what do you mean when you bring me a raya? Because the Gemara Avodah Zarah says, if you use a knife on a chiltis, all of a sudden it revives the flavor. Yeah, chiltis has very unique properties. Chiltis is the sharpest item out there. Okay? I don't know if it's even edible to mankind. But if an animal, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm just
maybe a thorn bush or something like that. It's not that physical. Sharper flavor,
is that actually, it's a machlokes. The Ravid says the pshat why in that Gemara is because it's like a thorny thing. That's why it rips open the intestines. That's the Ravid says. But it's not al scharif, right? But what? I'm saying, but. So this is the question, okay? So we have a Gemara in Chulin, nice little Gemara. That you have a radish. It takes out the flavor. That's the first shita in Shulchan Aruch, the first two chidushim of Davar Charef. That duchka takes out flavor. You don't have to cook it, or it's not heat. Pressure itself takes out flavor. Till now, we always said that you need heat. Now we're exception to the rule number one, exception to the rule number two. We finally got used to the concept of not by not. Bam, exception to the rule. Radishes don't have that. Nice gemara. Comes the gemara by the Zara and says, oh, by the way, use an old knife on chiltis. The chiltis is treif. Yesh Oimrim Zakh to Sefer Truma. You see this concept. The Davar Charef is able to revive old flavor, says the first Shita in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, but that's only Chiltis. Chiltis is not a radish. Chiltis is this whopper, Charef stuff that we don't even know what it is, right? Who says that every single Davar Charef has this property? So this is the Machloikes, okay? This is the two shitas in the Shulchan Aruch. The Yesh Oimrim, Du Adin Le'ino Ben Yoimai V'hu Mekunach? Okay, so now the Shach says, if you want to know how we paskin, look at the Shach of Katan Vav. The Shach says, Hatam Dechorfei Ditznoin Mishav Yolei L'Shevach. The sharpness of the radish makes it good flavors. V'chein das kol ha'achreinim, oh, k'mod k'otis shalchiltis, just like the chiltis. V'chein das kol ha'achreinim, v'chein noyagim. Okay? ומשמע דאין חילק בין בן יוימי לעיני בן יוימי, ונויג אין להחמר כמו בכל, כמו בן בן יוימי. Okay? So the Shach says, we are noyeg, we are machmer on this. So now we would say, we have a third exception to cutting radishes. Number one is you don't have to cook it to get out flavor. Number two is no het to napper. Not number three is even if it's eno ben yoimai, it would still be awesome. So let's apply this. You cut up a radish with an old fleshik knife. Okay, you had a fleshik knife that you used to cut your the kishka on Shabbos. You sliced some meat on Shabbos with this hot meat on Shabbos with this knife. And then Monday morning, you know, you take the knife out, you cut up some radish for your salad, and now your salad you take to work, you cut up some radishes in there, now you want to put in some cheese in the salad, some good feta cheese in the salad. So the Shulchan Aruch would say, it's a problem, you can't do that. Number one, one second, Rabbi, we spent the whole last 6 months telling me that it's not barnat. What's the big deal? Right? The flavor went from the meat to the knife, from the knife to the radish. Now you're eating the radish. What's the problem? So the answer is, no, it's sharp. You don't have that head to. Okay, fine. I thought you have to cook. No, cutting it doesn't. I thought it's an old knife. Davar Charif or Machmer, that you have to be Machmer on that. Okay? Now we'll see. It's good to know the background, because since this is a machloikes, we can use it if anything other than chiltus has this chumrah. So we can use it sometimes to, as a kula for something which we're not even sure is called charif. So let's say you have something you're not sure it's charif, a grapefruit. Is that charif? Is it not charif? I don't know. Yes, no. Now you take an old fleshig knife and you cut it up, and now you want to serve it with milk, whatever. So can you do that? Maybe you could argue, since, first of all, I don't even know if it's charif. Second of all, it's definitely not chiltis. So it's a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch, even though we paskin the chumrah, maybe you could use that shita, but tzir of the fact that we don't even know if it's charif and be mako. Okay? So we'll give such examples like that next week. When can we use that to be lenient? Okay? But the poiskim will sometimes, so it's good to learn the background, because you see where the holes are and where it's possible to like make tzirufim. Okay? So that is what he said. Now let's finish the mechaber in Siv Aleph here. So remember, the Shulchan Aruch said that it goes, how far does the dukkah push the flavor into the onion, into the radish, or whatever? It goes 1 inch. Now you did a problem. You took this fleshika onion and you cooked it up in a milchika soup. Sarech shishim kinet. So you'll say, okay, Rabbi, you need 60. 60 against what? 60 against how much? 60 against the whole onion? 60 against the netila? 60 against the knife? So zok the Shulchan Aruch tzarech shishim kinegin mashinoga mehasakin bohem v'uadin lechotron besakin shal goyim. So, it's a job complicated, but what after the dust settles with the Taz and the Shach, what he's saying is that at least let's go buy a fleshika knife and you cook it in a milchika soup. You would basically need the lower of the two, either the knife, 60 of the knife, or 60 against the maximum that the knife, the area that the knife touched of the vegetable. So let's say the surface of the knife is a massive knife, whatever. If you collect the total volume, how much can the total knife hold? The volume of the knife. So the total volume of the knife, I guess the way you would figure that out is if you would fill up a cup and you'd stick the knife in, and then, however, the displacement of the knife. What? So let's say it would end up being 1 ounce. Okay, so that means there's 1 ounce of fleishik now in that onion, because the knife went through the onion and all the flavor of that knife is now in the onion. So 1 ounce. So you need 60 ounces. What? Of the blade, yeah. So you, whatever the blade, but no, it's only the amount of the blade that touched the onion. So if you have this massive, you know, machete and you cut an onion with the tip, so you only need 60 times the volume of the amount of the knife that touched the onion. Okay, but on the other side, let's say the whole, you use the whole knife to cut the onion, but it's a small onion. So yeah, technically the knife has an ounce worth of meat in it, but the kedena tila of the onion is less than an ounce. So the most of the onion that could be, the most meat that there could be, has to be held in the netila of the onion. So if the netila of the onion is less than an ounce, so they can't be. So it's the lower of either the volume of the amount of the blade that touched the knife or the netila of the vegetable. Okay? So you need, that's how you mashire the 60. Okay? Now, Lemaisa, I'm not going to get involved in the following question, but the Taz raises a Gavaldika question, which we I remember when this happened in Lakewood. We were learning this, and the Halacha Lemaisa question about this Taz. The Taz raises the question, let's say you have 60 against, we almost had this question. It wasn't about a soup, it was about a potato kugel. They cut the potato kugel with a milchik knife, the onions for the potato kugel with a milchik knife, and they were serving it out of fleishik shavah brachos. Okay, this question. On the same tray as the fleishik. So it was going to be served at the same time as the fleishik. So you say, okay, look, how much milchik is there in this? How much milchik is there in the onions against the blade? You made a potato kugel enough for a whole shavah brachos. Obviously, there's 60 times in the kugel against the onions. Again, not against the onions, against the blade, against the original blade. Okay, so the 60. Zuck the Taz, hold on. But remember we talked about a long time ago, can you kasher food? Remember we said, look, I have a fork, I want to go kasher the fork. So I throw it into a pot of water, kasher's the fork, all the flavor. Can you kasher an onion? I have a fleishig onion. So you know what? Let me boil it in a pot, kasher up the onion, now I can go use it for milchiks. So we said, ain't hagala boizen, can't kasher food. So says the Taz, it's true that theoretically the flavor of the knife that went into the onion that now is in the kugel is bottle in the kugel. But the onions themselves are still milchik. So if the onions didn't dissolve into the soup, you have to take out, you have to strain out the onions. So the fact that there's 60 in the soup allows you to eat the soup with fleishik, but that's only talking about the flavor that came out of the onions into the soup. But the onions themselves still, we didn't kasher the onions. The onions themselves still have the milchik flavor, and you can't eat those onions with fleishik, or the opposite, right? So you would have to eat the soup, no problem. But Zog says the Taz, when the Shulchan Aruch says you can eat the soup, of course he means you got to strain out the onions, which is not what you would have thought if you read the Shulchan Aruch. You would not have thought that, obviously, right?
If it's not,
so we'll get into that more next week. So this question with the potato kugel was that question. Very nice. So we all came in, oh, potato kugel is fine, no problem. You can eat the potato kugel with the fleishik. So then the poisik says, well, there's still onions in there that are milchik.
But the onions are totally pureed.
Okay, so that was the question. Are the onions there? They're not there. Are you goofa? Can you make a bitl on the onion goofa? Whatever. It's according to this Taz, it gets a lot more complicated than what you would think. But I don't want, I'll get into the Taz again next week because it's a real gishmaka Taz. But if you look at Sipkatan, hey, he just says, Venirali Poshut, Demye Shishim, ain't sorry. He deals with the issue of, oh no, he says you don't have to, but he's saying that there's Achrayim that say you do, whatever. So so much to talk about. Okay, so this is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Let's talk about two other points quickly, which is what the Ramchab or the Ramah will bring down. Okay? That's very good if you cut a onion with a milchik knife and you want to use it for fleishik, like the case of this Shavu Brachos. What happens if you cut the onion with a treif knife? Okay. Now, the same thing. You put the onions into the soup. And now you say, hey, Rabbi, remember we learned that all you need is 60 against the blade. My soup is a massive soup. I pureed the onions. The onions not a problem. Now I pureed the soup. And all I have, I definitely had 60 against the blade. Says the Ramah, hold on. But remember back in the old days, we learned about Hanan, that whatever becomes treif, the whole thing is treif. So that's only by treif, not by milchik. So by milchik, it's enough to have 60 against the blade. But by treif, you need 60 against the whole onion now, possibly. Because now the whole onion is treif.
Just
the surface. So it depends. So if you dice the onion, so now if you dice the onion, the entire onion now is treif. Because every surface, the whole onion is there's no piece of onion that's more than an inch wide. So if you dice the onion, the entire onion, every surface got the full flavor. So now there's way more treif than just the surface of the blade. Because now the surface of the blade made 60 times it treif in the entire onion. So says the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, if it's a treif knife and you dice the onion, you would actually need 60 against the entire onion. It wouldn't be enough 60 against the blade. But if you dice the onion with a milchik knife or a fleshik knife, then it doesn't become chanan because it's not osir. It's just milchik. It's okay. What? No. So for milchik and fleshik, there's no chiluk dicing, not dicing. All you need is 60 against the blade. For treif, you need 60 against all onion now. Because if you didn't dice it and you cut the onion in half and then you put it to the soup, so the flavor only went till the netila. So yes, the whole netila is chanan. So you would need 60 times the whole netila.
Why does it say dark?
Because the flavor doesn't go past the netila anyway.
So what does chanan do?
Chanan says the whole netila is treif, not just the flavor in the netila is treif. Let's say you have a massive watermelon and you... No, it's big enough kumina. Because let's say you have a massive watermelon and a small knife. So if by milchik, all you would need is how much flavor of meat is in that surface of the watermelon? Just as much as that. But if you have chanan, it's the entire surface is treif now. So you need 60 against 1 inch of that entire volume. Okay? So that's the Ramah. V'mchotchan dak dak tzok l'shar shishim neged kol atznoin v'yesher m'shimchotach tznoin b'sakin shal iser kulay aser. That's a different issue. No, because you have to get that the entire, although it doesn't go to cooler, right? Dak dak means every
slices
of 1 inch. Okay, that's what he means. It means you kept on slicing it within. I just use dicing because that's the verb that we have. It doesn't say slicing.
It says dak dak.
Okay, fine.
Which is the same Lashmi Bashas, which is
Well, that means dicing.
Right, I understand. So the question is, why don't
we dice the slice? I'm not sure. It probably doesn't matter. Probably is the same thing. One other thing, talk about it for a minute, is let's say Kivager has this shayla. We're talking about, do you need 60 against the knife or 60 against the surface of the thing you cut? How much of the knife, how much of what, remember we said the case was, let's say you took that blade and you stuck it in the water and displaced an ounce. So we said that whole ounce now goes into the onion, right? Says Rabbi Kvager, it depends. Let's say the blade of the knife is this thick, right? We're talking about a knife that's thin. A thin knife that you cut, fine, everything in the knife goes in. But let's say it's a very, very thick blade. Let's say it's this thick, the blade. Does the flavor from the middle of the blade get into the onion? Says Rabbi Kvager, I'll bring you a raya that doesn't happen. Very good, Raya. How do you kasher a knife to be able to make it pariv to use for an onion? No. He says, all you have to do is ni'itza bakarka. All you have to do is stick it in that, you know, that hard ground that we always talked about. They were trying to figure out why your grandmother was busy venting her anger on putting her knife in the ground. So we said because that creates that friction that takes out the amount of flavor that would go into your onion. It's the equivalent. So the way you kasher a knife to use it for onions is by doing the itzah. If you want to use your knife on a hot roast, you have to kasher it. But if you want to use your knife for an onion, all you have to do is create that friction and put it in the itzah bakarka. So, Zuchtum Kveger, obviously, only the kedei klipa of the knife is what goes into the onion, not the middle of the knife. So when we say you need 60 against the knife, we're saying you need 60 against the klipa of the knife. Now, usually the klipa of the knife is, usually a knife is thin enough that that's the klipa of both sides is the whole knife. But if you have a knife this thick, which I don't know if there's such a thing, if you had a knife that's this thick, theoretically, you would not need the volume of the whole knife. You need 60 against the volume of the klipa of the knife.
Right, maybe
that's what Kiveger's chiddush. Okay, to be continued. A lot of chiddushim here. We'll keep on talking about it. It's very gishmak. Next week, Mr. Shem, we'll continue. Okay, kol tov. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.
And official and in a b'yomer. Is that the Tom?
What?
What about